Welcome to the EigenCast, a podcast about the business of enterprise technology, how to buy it, how to sell it, and how to use it. I'm your host, Justin Warren. In this episode, we talk with Mark Lewis, co-founder and CEO of Formation Data Systems. We discuss what the market's going to be like for storage startups in 2016.
It's going to be, no way about it, it's going to be chaos.
And we talk about what that means for individual companies.
That if someone we thought was the market leader is not doing well, it must be the market and not the player.
We also talk about what it means to build systems with so-called software-defined infrastructure.
You can't layer complexity on top of complexity and get simplicity. It just doesn't work.
And Mark explains why he believes adopting cloud technologies is in an organization's best interests.
You know, you really economically need to look at how you adopt software-defined and real cloud technology, or you're going to become consumed yourself.
This episode of the EigenCast is brought to you by Pivot9 Consulting. You can find them at pivot9.com. If sponsoring the EigenCast sounds like something you'd like to do, contact us via email at eigencast@eigenmagic.com. This conversation with Mark was recorded on the 2nd of December 2015. I'd never spoken to him before, and for those of you who don't know who he is, from 2002 to 2012, he worked for EMC. He was there in a variety of roles, including CTO and Chief Strategy Officer, and he was responsible, or at least partly responsible, for a lot of merger and acquisition activities, so a lot of the purchases that EMC made during that time. You may remember one or two small ones like VMware. Then in 2013, after leaving EMC, Mark formed a storage company, which is quite fashionable these days. So we had a discussion about what it is that makes Formation Data special and what they're trying to do differently to everyone else, and about how you actually survive as a storage company given the current market conditions. Now, apart from him using the word disruption slightly more often than I'd prefer, i.e. never, he has some interesting things to say about the use of open source technologies, like open source software. So there's a good little segment in here where we talk about what it actually means to have a company that uses a great deal of open source software and how you can support the community in doing so. I hope you enjoy listening to our conversation, and as always, feel free to get in touch with me on Twitter at JP Warren. We start off with Mark explaining why he started Formation Data Systems in the first place.
I worked for Joe Tucci for about a decade at EMC, so I was at EMC for about 10 years, from 2002 to 2012, and left in 2012 when we started Formation later that year. And it was kind of our belief that we could see the writing on the wall that if you really saw what Amazon and the cloud guys were doing, was really redefining, you know, service delivery of everything in terms of how computing, you know, gets delivered to individuals and even to applications. And, you know, we saw that enterprise IT was kind of falling further and further behind, and the model in the enterprise just wasn't changing. And, you know, they had things called private clouds, but they weren't really clouds. They were just VMware with a management tool. So there really wasn't a lot of there. And we really thought that, you know, the real change has got to come when, you know, you really got to move this cloud model, and cloud technology really needs to start moving, you know, in more pervasive into the IT enterprise. So we set out the mission in Formation to kind of say, you know, we want to build the Amazon technology stack such that it can be deployed for storage anyway within the four walls of your data center or in any cloud you want to deploy it in.
Yeah, and I, in doing some research on you guys, I was sort of impressed and also a little perplexed by the way that you've essentially said, backwards compatibility, don't care, we're not going to do that. This is the future and we're just going to start from here. That is a bold approach. How are you finding the reception in the marketplace to that kind of idea?
Well, I kind of failed at this. Let's put backward compatibility into context. Backward compatible. We are fully backward and legacy compatible from an application standpoint. So every application you ever have written will run, you know, here, because we support block and file and object, so iSCSI and NFS and all of the various storage formats. So we're not talking about, we want you to feel comfortable that, you know, you can run everything from your brand new applications to legacy apps. And oh, by the way, most, you know, you couldn't run most of your legacy apps in Amazon's cloud today. So that's more compatibility than, you know.
Yeah, because I did go digging for the data sheet on the block and file stuff, and it was it was talking about things like Ceph and Scality, and then I thought, well, hang on, well, that's not the connection protocol. So, okay, so you do support NFS, iSCSI, SMB, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we connect everything. The part that we did not choose to be compatible with was, and I built products like this when I was at EMC, and that is, we're not trying to put legacy arrays. A lot of companies or, you know, customers, potential customers, have come to us and said, what we'd really like you to do is to manage all of our old arrays.
Yeah, right.
And we're not here to build another management product. I'm not here to try to take, you know, the 10-year-old array that you bought that is old, slow, and expensive and somehow make it, you know, lean and mean and cheaper. You use that through its useful life. You throw it away. And then you know, pick up something more modern. You know, I'm not building an iPhone that runs on top of your old iPhone. That doesn't work. And so that's where we put our foot down and said, you know, all of these software programs that are trying to build just management tools that manage all of your old, clunky, 30-year-old hardware are going to create a modern environment for you, and they're not going to change the economics.
Okay, so no EMC VPlex. For you guys.
Yeah, it's really, right, it's really the you know, there's a couple, Viper, primary data. I did it, when I was in EMC, I built a product called Vista that tried to virtualize the SAN on top of all the other SAN. And it, you know, very respectfully, was a miserable failure. You can't layer complexity on top of complexity and get simplicity. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, there's been many people who've tried to do that virtualization of storage, and it sounds magic, but yeah, the reality is that I've yet to see one even do partially well in the market. It just doesn't seem to actually sell. I suppose it's the difference between what people say they want and what they actually want.
Exactly, and I have to talk to a lot of customers who say, I know you think it's really great that you don't have to rebuy any storage, or, you know, that we would come in and layer on top and some kind of investment protection. But the problem is, you can't fundamentally disrupt your economics if you're going to carry your old, you know, it's like saying, well, I want to move from the, you know, mainframe era to the client server era, but, you know, you've got to sell me client servers that run in front of my mainframe. It just is a, you know, when you really put it in context, it's a ridiculous argument, but it comes up a lot.
Yeah. That's technical debt is how it's used in developer terms. So, yeah. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So, in terms of, I mean, you guys are apparently a scale-out type solution, and you're doing a lot of big data and cloud and object storage and those sorts of more cloud, modern storage ideas with this interface for block and file. There are a few other people who are doing something similar. What makes you guys different?
Yeah, that is the kind of question. So, You could say, you know, there's an open source product you mentioned called Ceph that has a lot of similar basic characteristics. And there's other startups like Hedvig, there's Scality that's in a similar vein, Nexenta, you know, so there's a cadre out. And I think it's going, you know, the kind of the group and the up and comers are kind of showing that we see a very strong pent up demand just in aggregate to move to what I call software-defined models, right, for storage, to get away from the idea that you have to buy, you know, a very expensive and very proprietary specific array for your storage. You know, in your applications, you can run on commodity servers, and your storage, you have to buy a specialty thing that's expensive and goes under maintenance and all that. So, yeah, you know, the point of all of these things, I think, are directionally correct. So in some ways, you know, these are all our comrades who are, you know, fighting a similar fight in that desire. What Formation tried to do different is, you know, I've been 30 years in enterprise storage, and this is a really, really tough problem. It's very hard to write storage software and do it well. You know, the engineers that use storage are the most conservative around. And what we saw happening and what we saw the need was someone to build a software product that looked like a storage array or looked like a storage product to the IT administrator. And that means it has snapshots and it has clones and it has, you know, concepts of LUNs and all of that stuff that you know, data governance policies and the ability to, you know, easily get data moved for backups and all of that stuff that makes a good storage product in enterprise storage. And really, those are the things we want to add. And with a scale-out product, we have to add the manageability that these other products really aren't thinking about in terms of cloud-like dynamics and scaling. So we have fully integrated QoS. So you can set the minimum number of IOPS you need for each volume you create. You can set a guarantee, you know, max limit on IOPS. You can set relative priorities. You can select tiering, so you can decide. You can build all flash volumes. You can build all disk volumes or hybrid. You know, it's all of these kinds of natural settings. The ability to set everything dynamically, QoS. You know, that's what we're trying to be different, is to build something that an enterprise can truly, you know, take and use as enterprise storage that conforms to this new model.
Right. Okay. How would that be different to something like MC Scale.io, which seems to take a slightly, it sounds like a similar approach, but of course with that one you have to bring your own hardware.
Yeah, and you bring your own hardware with us, and Scale.io is a perfect example of you know, I think it's an excellent product actually, and a good representation of what's to come and scale out and all of that. But you know, at least last time I checked, it was a block-only product, so it doesn't, we support a whole dynamic set of connectors, so we support block, NFS, HDFS, S3, you know, so we built a modular connector type on top. And we built a lot more capabilities like the QoS systems in for scale out. So yeah, I think Scale.io is a very directionally correct product, and it's just, you know, we just architecturally built something that we think is more sustainable.
Yeah, okay. I like the way that you've implemented QoS, so that you've got both minimums to say this is how much you are a minimum IOPS that you should have, and then here's a maximum that you can have, which is particularly important for multi-tenancy environments. If you're doing any sort of cost basis, you need to be able, it's an argument I have with a lot of storage vendors, if I'm trying to sell things, I need to be able to say no, you, if you want more than that, you have to pay us more money, rather than just doing a priority queue dropping mechanism.
You know, that's exactly why we had to add that. We do have full multi-tenancy, so we do allow for the creation of, you know, we have system admins or overall system admins, and we have what we call tenant admin access as well. So you can create tenants within our system. So, you know, part of our sale will be to more, you know, we believe that there's going to be an explosion of what I would call specialty Amazon, specialty AWSs, where they're going to focus on a particular application, a particular geographic region, particular service delivery, and all of those are going to need their form of S3 EBS stuff. You know, so that's a great market for us. So we built in multi-tenancy, and we got that QoS input you just said, was a lot of people came to us and said, don't just guarantee a minimum. We want you to be able to throttle the max. And it's really hard to build QoS. It's more important in scale out than ever, because when you're trying to get someone off of, say, a bunch of NetApp arrays or a bunch of VNX, one of the reasons they bought all those individual arrays was it was kind of their form of firewalling or separation of workload.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whichever project pays for the array is like, no, it's mine. I don't want to share.
Yeah, then you get the performance, right? If you run out of performance, you buy another, or you buy a bigger array or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was the way they did it. It was solving the noisy neighbor problem, we used to call it, storage. And so building a scale-out system, when you look at, you know, products like Ceph, you know, Ceph is a neat piece of open source, but it's a computer science project. It's not, you know, we get most of our, you know, customers or what I call reform Ceph trials, you know,
right,
where they took on Ceph and they go, oh my God, this is, you know, this isn't a product. This is a Heath kit, and that's fine. I mean, you know, Linux took 25 years to mature, and I'm sure in 25 years, maybe Ceph will be ready, but that's not a, it's not a relevant type product for the markets we're going after, which are people, you know, let's say everybody except Amazon and Google and Facebook, right? And we're a big consumer of open source. Most of our product is built on top of open source. So I love open source. But open source to me is a tool or a vehicle for software companies and really, really big tech companies, you know, to take advantage of. But, you know, if you're a Midwestern bank, you shouldn't be messing with trying to build your own storage system.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So yeah, a question on the open source thing. It's an area that I've been following for a while. There are a lot of companies who say, "Hey, open source, great, we get free code. Let's go grab it and use it." But we have seen some examples in fairly recent times, particularly in security, where people suddenly discovered that OpenSSL, for example, was being maintained by one guy in his kind of free time. What is your company's attitude towards giving back into the open source community, either through code contributions or through financial support of these projects that you depend on?
Yeah, I mean, I think a part of the ecosystem is that as we grow, yeah, we give back to those communities. And I think within the right community, meaning that you have a front person, namely somebody like us, Formation, you know, because we use a lot of open source, you know, that's economically advantageous for us. But what we do for our customers is give them a product. And so our objective becomes you, the customer, shouldn't have to worry about how the code has been sourced inside of us, because we're here to support it and protect it and do all of those things. So we have to be the backstop around that. And I think that works really well. And like you said, then companies contribute. I think where it got a little out of hand, in my view, in some ways, OpenStack started it a little bit, Ceph and others, the marketing of open source kind of got ahead of the use of it, kind of moved away from what I call the big software and tech companies into kind of middle America IT, thinking, oh, I'm just going to grab some OpenStack and marry it up with some Ceph, and it's going to work like Microsoft. Not even close.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you my favorite story. I had a big IT company using Ceph. We went in, pitched Formation. This was over a year and a half ago when we just had alpha code. And our alpha code was, you know, barely functional, I would have called it. And we clearly wouldn't have let a customer put real data on it or anything. It was very, very early. They'd been working with Ceph for 2.5 years, and they had 35 people on their Ceph team inside their company in IT. They took a look at our alpha code, and our alpha code was so much further along than what they had been able to do with Ceph for 2.5 years, they immediately threw it up, reassigned the 35 people, and said, we're going with you guys. So open source has this idea of, you know, it works, it's free, it's cheap. It's just not the case. When you're a user or a consumer, you know, open source is a very, very risky proposition.
Yeah, well, often open source is free, as in free puppy.
Exactly. Yeah, you got you. You got to take care of that puppy. You got to raise puppy, raise dog. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a company like me, I totally dependent on open source, and we want to support it. To our customers, we say, you know, you guys shouldn't, you know, unless you've got a real appetite for wanting to be in the storage business, consuming open source directly is fraught with peril.
So speaking of the storage business more generally, I mean, your market, it sounds like you're going after the burgeoning MSP style market where people are trying to build, I'll call them private clouds, for specialist purposes. You guys are at Series A. We've seen Pure's gone public. Violin is struggling. Nimble took a bit of a dive a couple of Fridays ago. Pure's dropped similarly. There's an awful lot of other companies out there who are either going to have to go public, get bought, or just die. What do you see the environment looking like for the next 12 to 18 months?
It's going to be, no way about it, it's going to be chaos. And here's our thesis on this. And you know, it's going to be hard for us, but, you know, here's our thesis. I put the market into a fact. The way I explain this market to folks is the last disruption in storage occurred about 30 years ago when NetApp and EMC came in and got rid of monolithic storage, and we went to network-based storage. So storage is a best-of-breed functional commodity, and so the network storage array was born. And for 30 years, we have incrementalized on that array. We have evolved but not disrupted. And even though you've seen the, you know, the data domains and the Isilons, the 10 that IBM bought and the Compellent and the Equalogic that Dell bought, no brand has usurped NetApp and EMC. They're the leading players. They have been. They win little, you know. And so the VC community is really what they've done is funded the R&D efforts of the big companies as off-balance sheet R&D. So, because at the end of the day, they're just selling slightly better arrays, or an array that fits the backup market, or an array that fits this market, right?
Okay.
We believe that after 30 years, that's about to die. That entire industry of the storage array is going to die. And we would say that a witness of, you know, the race to get a lot of these companies public and out, and the lack of appetite of, do you think Dell or EMC are going to buy Pure Storage when they've already bought Extreme IO and, you know, five times the size? And do they, you know, do you think IBM's any more interested in the storage business now? Or, you know, HP, after its chaos, is going to be off buying old array companies? No, I think it's going to be a very tough time, because you have a lot of really good arrays coming out in a market that we believe is about to be disrupted by cloud and software. So for 30 years, you have this trend, right, that is built around, well, I just build a slightly better array. Let's build an all-flash array. Let's build a Zhidoop array. Let's build a this array. And, you know, we'll run it for a few years, and we'll sell to HP, IBM, EMC, or one of these guys. And that was the model. I mean, I did 31 acquisitions myself for EMC. That was how we were off balance sheet R&D. That's what we did. And that was the model. Now, here's the problem. You've been driving this straight line for 30 years, and my belief is there's about to be a corner, and it's called software-defined. And the software-defined model says, no. That whole array model of dual redundant gear cache controllers, scale up, gone. We're going to the Amazon, Google model that has been proven out for the last decade. We're going to scale out software-based storage. And so you're not only disrupting the big guys, you know, and there's a disruption there. You're not only disrupting enterprise IT. You've got a lot of companies that formed to be the best of the last model. you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're the best BI when What's the Duke came out, or you're the best BlackBerry when the iPhone came out. You really are at the top of your game in the old model, and then somebody goes and changes the damn model on you. So storage will probably be a fairly chaotic marketplace for the next couple of years.
Well, in that environment, given that you're a relatively new company and there's this going to be this chaos and customers may be nervous about some of these companies not surviving, how are you going to convince customers to buy from you, and how are you going to weather this storm of the next 12, 18 months and stay alive?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenge because, you know, the natural tendency, you know, of people like in venture capital is, oh, you know, Pure Stock went down, storage must suck right now. So why not invest in storage, you know? And there is a lot of that where you get painted in the market that if someone we thought was the market leader is not doing well, it must be the market and not the player. And that is a pretty natural assumption. So that's a lot of stuff we have to fight. A part of it is we have to tell our story that, you know, the reason you see all of this chaos is the fact that this disruption is coming. You know, we have good proof points in Amazon growth and the public cloud. We have good proof points that this technology works in the sense of, you know, it's how Google does storage. It's how Facebook does storage. So, you know, we have a good proponents of the model. So our objective comes in to customers to say, you have to look at everything from the Dell EMC merger to, you know, all of this chaos, all of this turmoil storage to be a wake-up call to say, there's a disruption coming and you better look at, you know, you really economically need to look at, you know, how you adopt software-defined and real cloud technology, or you're going to become consumed yourself.
And that was Mark Lewis, CEO of Formation Data Systems. Thanks for listening to another episode of the EigenCast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, head along to the EigenMagic website, and there you'll see a link to the EigenCast, and you'll be able to subscribe using your favourite podcasting tool, or just grab things via the RSS feed, or indeed listen in the website. There's a handy little plugin thing that can play it directly through your browser. If you'd like to sponsor the EigenCast, contact us via email at eigencast@eigenmagic.com. Until next time, I'll be hanging out on the intertubes as usual. You can find me on Twitter @JP Warren, or through email and a variety of other media outlets as well.